I'm Marty Moscowane, sitting in today for Terry Gross. Coming up, we'll hear her interview with screenwriter and director Cameron Crowe. In the new movie, Say Anything, Cameron Crowe returns to the teen years, the setting of his first career triumph. Say Anything is a teen movie about an aspiring kickboxer named Lloyd Dobler and his mismatched love affair with an intelligent, attractive high school senior who will soon leave for England on a prestigious fellowship. Lloyd's friends, who fear he's out of his league, try to talk him out of the relationship. Cameron Crowe is best known for his first book, Fast Times at Ridgemont High, and for his screenplay of the hit movie that launched the careers of Sean Penn and Judge Reinhold. Terry asked Cameron Crowe to describe the Lloyd Dobler character in Say Anything.
Well, Lloyd is a kickboxer, which is, you know, you have to understand, I guess, sports a little bit to know what a lost cause sport that really is. It's like your glory comes at 3 a.m. on ESPN if you're lucky.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are guys that work at Denny's until about 5 o'clock on the day they fight, you know. And then he was based on a guy that moved in down the street from me who would just lose every fight, you know, but he'd just be right there punching on the bag the next morning. You know, I'm going to win the next one. So I just loved writing this character, Lloyd Dobler, who was in love with this girl, and, you know, he wasn't the smartest guy in the world, on paper maybe, and everyone said, you don't deserve a girl like that, or how can you be a kickboxer, and he just kind of forges ahead as this warrior for optimism, and he has his own rhythms, you know, he grew up an army brat, and so he has this odd formality about him too. So it's just fun to write these long patches of dialogue that are like, sir, I just want to tell you a little bit about myself, sir. I'll tell you this. I am a kickboxer. I'm a scientific kickboxer. You know,
I don't want to sell anything, buy anything, or process anything as a career. I don't want to sell anything bought or processed, or buy anything sold or processed, or process anything sold, bought, or processed, or repair anything sold, bought, or processed. You know, as a career, I don't want to do that. So, my father's in the army. He wants me to join, but I can't work for that corporation. So what I've been doing lately is kickboxing, which is a new sport, but I think it's got a good future.
So he's a character who falls in love with a girl who he thinks is kind of out of his league. She's very smart, yeah. Very beautiful. Did you relate to that?
Well, I usually get turned down by girls like that, but not Lloyd. I'll tell you why it was fun to write, and the basic difference between this and Fast Times is that this is more about love, and Fast Times was a lot about the awkward messiness of first-time sex, you know? And especially, you know, I wanted to write in Fast Times about kids becoming adults at younger and younger ages, which really struck me, and about 8 years ago, it was just starting to break, all these kids in fast food jobs and supporting their lifestyles at 15. And I wanted to get past that and write about what happens when, you know, you've assumed this, quote, adult existence, unquote, at a young age, and then all of a sudden you get broadsided by a whole new set of emotions, namely real love.
Say Anything is the first film that you directed. Was it an ambition of yours to direct? How did you get to direct this?
I just always wanted to be a writer, and directing this was an outgrowth of wanting to protect the script, really, and I was lucky enough that they asked me. And so I felt like I exchanged the terror of seeing the script fall into the hands of someone that would condescend to the young characters, you know, exchanging the terror of that with the absolute terror of doing it myself, you know.
Right.
So
you wanted to protect the script, but when you were directing it yourself, did you find yourself furiously rewriting it once you were on the set?
There was a writer's strike on at the time, so I am like Mr. Rewrite. I will rewrite anything. I will rewrite, you know, phone messages. I will do it all, but I couldn't when we were doing this movie. And so I had to work from about 8 drafts that we had of this script. And John Mahoney, who plays the father in the movie, I was very lucky to be working with him because John Mahoney memorized every draft. So he would say, gee, this isn't quite working here. Why don't we go back to something in draft 3? I'm going, whoa, what was in draft 3? And he'd peel off this great speech and I wouldn't even remember writing it, you know?
It's funny that there was a writer strike. That meant that half of you was on strike and half of you wasn't.
It was kind of a joke. you know, people would say, this line isn't working. What are we going to do? And I'd have to say, well, the writer's on strike. You know, we're in trouble. But they, you know, they told me there were spies around and things like that, so not to not to rewrite.
A lot of
I supported the strike, so, you know.
A lot of directors say that casting is about the most crucial decision that you make in a movie. Do you agree with that? And if so, let's talk about the casting.
Yes, and okay.
Okay. Well, you cast John Cusack in the role of Lloyd Dobler, who's the aforementioned character that you described. What did you want him for the role?
I wanted him because of... Did you ever see Stand By Me?
No, I'm one of the few people who missed it.
Well, if you ever see Stand By Me, there is a little flashback of John Cusack as the older brother of, I think, Will Wheaton's character. And it's just, you know, it's this quiet moment, and he's sitting at a table. He doesn't have the pressure on him to be the funny man or to carry the weight of all the humor or to be the charming guy. He's just simply acting. But I always remembered that this was such an affecting moment, and he was never allowed to really be natural in any of the movies that he made that were so-called teen movies. And he felt the same way, of course, and you know, he's getting into leading man land now. He looks different. He looks older. He's like a beefier, tough-looking guy. And he wasn't sure if he could go back and play a younger character. He'd already played a 26-year-old in Eight Men Out.
Ione Skye is very beautiful, very sensual, and she plays a character who's the smartest girl in the school and is also very humble and very shy. And I have to tell you that there's something I had problems with in the casting in the casting of her.
Go ahead.
And that is, it's been my experience watching movies that girls who are supposed to maybe be a little plain and a little shy are always cast as being gorgeous and sensual.
I know.
I think we're in this kind of crisis in movies where men and boys are allowed to be a little offbeat looking, but leading ladies just really aren't.
I would love to talk to you about this.
Uh-huh.
Because I think Ione really is on the scale of leading ladies. I think Ione, you know, is very real looking. You know, it's just, maybe that's just my opinion, but it's funny when you get into the position of directing a movie and there are studio people telling you, you know, the things you probably shouldn't listen to. Ultimately, I didn't listen to them, but they all wanted this much more overt, quote, beautiful girl, you know? And I felt Ione was a realistic beauty, you know? I thought, plus the movie's set in Seattle, and I thought she looked a little bit like a Seattle girl. And, you know, there are some offbeat things about her. She did have to play a gorgeous girl in the script, but... You know, I really agree with what you say in that characters should be allowed to be realistic looking and not these master race, you know, gorgeous guys or girls.
Yeah.
And plus she's 17.
Yeah.
And I wanted to cast a 17-year-old for the part.
Mm-hmm. I think that demographic research is really plaguing the movie industry now. And I would guess that it's particularly bad with high school movies, since movie executives don't really know what high school students are interested in or what kind of movie they'd like to see.
Boy, is that the truth.
Yeah. So were you stuck with having to do a lot of market research to see what a high school audience might respond to?
Oh yes, they really believe in these numbers, and ultimately, I think you have to listen to the numbers and then throw these pieces of paper away, because I heard some fairly chilling stuff in the course of finishing this movie, and I have to tell you, none of the movies that these guys said were going to be huge were huge, and all of the movies that they trashed to me personally ended up being received. You know, soulful movies, for example, ended up being received by the audience much more than their numbers told them. So I think what it all comes down to is people are always smarter than you give them credit for being, particularly kids. And there was thought that this movie didn't have enough car crashes and didn't have enough, you know, overt sex and stuff. And then to see, you know, people lining up for the movie on opening night was a pretty wonderful thing, because I believe that, you know, there have been enough of those movies. There have been enough Porky's movies, you know?